Welcome to Branching Out, a podcast presented by the reporters and editors of the Acorn newspapers, offering you a closer look at the news in your community.
All right, so it is Monday, April
20th, 4:20.
Let's not make any jokes about that one. Let's just move right on.
We'll go right past that. So we're trying something new again. We have a new way of doing this today now for the third straight week.
Okay, so yeah, before we get into it, I want to explain the audio quality on this one might be a little rough. The studio where I've recorded the last two episodes, I share with two other guys, and one of them texted me. He had been going in there when I was not in there, and he texted me last Thursday or Friday to say he was sick. It didn't sound like it was COVID. It just sounded like he had a cold. He was saying he was a little concerned because he doesn't usually get fevers when he gets sick, but he just was letting me know. So I'm avoiding that space for the next, like, 5 days or so. I think I'll go back, like, Tuesday or Wednesday with gloves and, like, disinfect everything. But for now, the way that we're recording this is we're looking at each other over Zoom, and we both have our phone's voice memo apps going, and we're just going to combine those files in Logic. So hopefully, like, mine is me in a room, Kyle's is his in a room. Hopefully they'll come out crystal clear. We have no clue. Neither of us are wearing headphones right now.
No. It's like we're trying. Once we're done, we would have tried almost every way to accomplish this that can be done. But what matters is we're here again. It's another episode of Branching Out. I'm happy that we're doing it. Again, thanks for coming in on a Sunday.
Coming in. I mean, I'm not going anywhere that I wasn't already, you know, quarantined at.
Oh, yeah. I keep thanking you for that. Good point. Again, because we are recording on a Sunday, that gives us an ability to have a little more up-to-date information. And the big news, of course, this weekend, at least on Ventura County side, was we got a brand new stay-home order to replace our first order. And so the first one went in place, March 20th, extended for a month. So that order was due to expire tonight, right at midnight on April 20th. But before that could happen, they put in a new month-long order, so basically extending the order for another month to meet up with LA County. But they changed some parts of that order, and I think if you look at it in total, you could say Ventura County is easing its restrictions, which is we're not seeing in LA County yet.
Well, it's an interesting thing because Ventura County is obviously far less densely populated than LA County.
Yep.
You're right next door. And considering LA County has like the highest caseload in the state, it puts you guys in an awkward position because it's like, I am in LA County right now. There's nothing to stop me from coming to Ventura County. And if I'm an asymptomatic carrier,
yep,
but taking advantage of Ventura County's newer, less stringent orders,
mm-hmm,
not necessarily, it's just prolonging the whole situation for everybody. But again, like Ventura County's calmer than LA County. So of course,
yeah, it's hard to say. Like, we've seen the stories this week about the protests and people coming out against the orders. We haven't had anything like that here yet. But you are starting to hear earlier in the week of some of these frustrations about the order because the numbers had not been going up anywhere close to the rate they had initially talked about. Of course, 3 weeks ago, our health officer said we could see 200 to 400 new cases a day. I think right now the most we've seen in one day is 35. So the pressure was let's see if we can ease some of these restrictions. And it's interesting, the response has been mixed. You have people that say we shouldn't be easing this at all, and they're worried that we're doing this too soon. You have another group that's thrilled that some of these restrictions are being eased. And then you have another group that thinks they're not being eased enough, that we needed to do more. So it's kind of, you know, people fall into one of those three camps.
I'm wondering if this is that moment where it's like, oh, things aren't as bad as we thought they were. Like, why are we being so strict? And it's like, because they're not as bad as we thought they were because we've been so strict about it. Like that moment that we've continually talked about on the podcast of, this seems like an overreaction because it's working,
mm-hmm,
kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see if in the next coming couple weeks, if not to say maybe cases will increase again, but maybe if the line will plateau, but continue at that same kind of rate for a while before declining. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the public health officer here, Dr. Robert Levin, a name that's been just coming up a lot lately, of course, because his name on the order, you know, he said right there, if we see things start to change, meaning to go in the negative direction, he's reserving the right to, you know, make reinstitute some of those stricter rules. And at the same time, the county CEO, Mike Powers, who I think is, you know, he's one of those people that is starting to hear from the cities and from the businesses and saying, hey, you know, we're dying here. What can you do for us? He said that the order would be looked at in 2 weeks, potentially, and maybe we'll see restrictions eased even further. But again, we just don't know. But to me, it was a good sign that at least the people in power do feel that because of the work we've done, that some of these restrictions that they had, I think, the hardest time defending, especially those that were being threatened with legal challenges, they just said, let's take those off the table. So obviously the big ones are that everyone's, and we were obviously talking about last week with Pastor Rob McCoy and his church in Newbury Park. On Thursday, actually, before the new order came in, him and a local rabbi, Michael Barclay, who's a rabbi of a synagogue in Westlake Village, they both threatened the county with a lawsuit if they did not allow drive up services. And if you can understand, if I've been trying to explain to people what those are, and really that is, we can all drive to our church, our families, we get in our car, we drive to the church, we park in the parking lot, the cars have to be 6 feet apart, and then we keep the windows closed, and the service is streamed somehow through the radio. So you can see the people you go to church with, and you hear the service, and that's how it would work. So it's
okay, genuine logistical question. How is that better than a Zoom service?
No, I guess they just get to be in the same place together. I don't know. But this is, they get to see each other. They get to gather in the same place. I guess he's just saying, you know, this is why should, because other counties have allowed it. So I don't know. We haven't seen anyone put on one of those services yet, but obviously the county now is saying you can do that. And the same goes for drive-up movies and political speeches and all kinds of gatherings.
Where is there a drive-in theater around here that was even an issue?
Well, I mean, if you wanted to put up a giant screen theoretically in a parking lot now and screen a movie, you could do it, you know? So that was the big question. But it doesn't seem there's anything in the new order that would allow the communion that that Godspeak Church did a few weeks ago that really started a lot of this fuss. But I don't think that's going to stop Godspeak. Rob has said he plans to do communion again on the first Sunday of May. So even though it does not look like it's spelled out in the new order, it looks like he's going to go ahead and do that regardless. So that's one of the big news, the other stories for all our golf fans out there. And I'll be honest with you, I did hear from a lot of people that were being really rational about this and just saying, what about, why golf? You know, of all sports, you know, you can say the farthest apart, you're not both touching the same ball, everyone has their own ball. I think that was hard for them to defend, especially when it came to private courses. So Ventura County's order does allow golf courses to reopen, both public and private. And I heard there was a lawsuit coming down the line there as well, so that might have played into that decision. But they have some restrictions there where it has to be groups of four. You can't use a cart. There's other restrictions there, but good news for golfers. You know, again, the people that some hike, some play basketball, some golf. And so for those folks, they will be able to. Now, remember, the order is now in place. Now it's up to the golf courses to reopen. So that's been a lot of the confusion about.
Wait. Yeah. So it's saying like golf courses you can reopen, but it's still up to the discretion of the property owner to say whether or not it will be reopened.
Exactly. Okay. But I have it on good word that you know, a couple of the private owners were talking about some kind of lawsuit there. So I get a feeling that's gonna happen pretty quickly. And that's what we have to keep in mind about this order that I think was confusing for a lot of people. Was just because this order allowed certain things, it doesn't change that. It just allows the agencies that make those decisions to then have the power to reopen things. So even though it expressly says hiking is okay, it expressly says tennis is okay, it's still up to those agencies to reopen the tennis courts and especially reopen the trails. So that's been a lot that we've been hearing about hikers saying, hey, can I go back out and hike? And at least in Thousand Oaks, the big agency there we're talking about is COSCA, which is the Kaneo Open Space Agency. On your side of things, right, it's MRCA is a lot of the trails, right? And neither of those agencies have said anything about reopening, although Costco says they're going to give us an update tomorrow. And if I was a betting man, I would guess we are going to see them reopen, but I just don't know. The fear still exists, like you said, about Los Angeles County hikers now flooding into Thousand Oaks if the trails remain closed in LA County. I think they'd like to coordinate those.
I went hiking earlier this week, as you saw, and whoever follows us on Twitter may have seen. Took that little shot at dawn just for the fun of it. No, I was talking to my sister, because she's in North Hollywood, and she's like, "There's like we can go out, but there's nothing for us to do. It's like, you should, if you need to get out, like, you can come out here and go hiking." Mm-hmm. But I'm wondering, like, as I was saying, and it's like, I'm wondering how many people are having these same thoughts, and it made me think of, like, the first couple weeks of shutdown, when you were talking about, like, we were talking, you were telling me about, like, how Wildwood was just, like crazy, just the parking lot was packed.
Yep.
All those stories you heard about, like, nobody observing social distancing on trails, and the trails being more crowded than they would be on an average Saturday because nobody, everybody had nowhere else to go.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that's why we haven't seen a decision yet from these other agencies, especially Costco is the big one. But I think we'll see. I mean, I don't want to put my opinion in, but yeah, it seems there would be some way to open some of the trails back up and maybe some of these real hot spots where the crowds go, maybe leave those closed. But I'm not making that decision. But the county has obviously given those agencies the green light should they want to reopen. And as you point out, Oak Park, Rancho Simi has remained open throughout, correct? That's where you were hiking?
Yeah, I went up to China Flats, which was amazing. Hike very often.
Great hike.
And I was joking with Dawn on Twitter, or like I messaged her when I was up there. And I was like, this is my exercise for the next month. Like, this was everything I need. But at the same time, it's like, I could see doing this. Like, I understand why you're out doing this at sunrise.
I mean, again, that's been the hard part of this mixed messaging, at least on Ventura County side, where we were constantly being told, you know, don't just staying home and eat ho-hos and watch Netflix, like, is my MO. You want to be out exercising. And people are saying, well, where are we going to exercise? But on these trails, in some of these places. So, my hope is that if they do go ahead and then reopen them, that, yeah, people will still respect those social distancing mandates. You know, I don't know with regard to masks, what we'll see. But, again, I think we deserve some credit on Ventura County side for the efforts we made with regard to social distancing. And maybe that's why we're getting some of these restrictions eased. But you're right. It's a hard thing because, you know, we're over here in Ventura County easing restrictions. I'm seeing your tweets each day about more and more deaths. It just feels like such two different realities.
I mean, it's like I said before we started recording, LA County each day lately each day is the new record number of deaths or cases. It's not like I've seen some stuff saying like, well, it's not going as badly as we thought it would, or it's decreasing, but I'm also seeing a lot of stuff to the contrary of that, and the numbers are a harder thing to argue with. So it's like, what, LA County, I don't know. It puts everybody in the surrounding region at risk, because the worse it gets in LA County, the more people are going to want to go elsewhere to get outside the house, which further affects the surrounding regions. So yeah, Ventura County is in a pickle. And it's one of those things, too, of like, yeah, the county can ease its restrictions and revisit it in 2 weeks. But considering that we don't know, I mean, everything I'm seeing about, like, people being asymptomatic and not knowing that they're carrying it, or the lack of antibody testing and all that stuff, is like, in 2 weeks, how bad could things get before Ventura County realizes, like, oh, maybe we do need to revisit this and shut everything down.
Yeah.
And that might be an even harder fight, because it's like you give a kid a toy saying, like, you can play with this, and then, oh no, you know what, you can't play with this.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the governor used, I think he was, and some people joked about it, but he mentioned a toggle switch, a kind of on and off system that eventually might become the norm. So it's not out of, I mean, I think they want to know they have the abilities to do that, but you're right, if they suddenly come back in 2 weeks, then again, if the numbers change and suddenly we do see a spike, I mean, we'll hear just as many people on the other side saying we need to close it down again. But some other big parts of the new order, gatherings now allowed up to 5 people.
In the same car or just in general?
Yeah, so yeah, if you and 4 of your buddies want to go meet up at a park now, you can do that. Remember, as families are concerned and people living in the same house, those people have always been allowed to be in groups. But now this actually allows gatherings of up to five. So if you want to go over to your neighbor's house, you can now. It's one of those things that hasn't really been enforced, I'm pretty sure, throughout. But the fact that they went from no gatherings now to up to five gatherings is significant, I think. They made clear that, you know, at-home businesses and all businesses that have 10 or fewer employees can be open right now, as long as they're not public-facing, they're not open to the public, not a door the public can walk.
Like a restaurant with a staff of five still can't be open, is what you're saying. Well, you said like it's a staff
Well, the restaurants are a whole different. The restaurant's a whole different deal.
Well, right. The public facing side is what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you're right. But any kind of office, like that, you know, an accountant's office or a number of these.
So, like our Camarillo office isn't going to be reopening.
Well, theoretically, if we locked the doors and didn't let anyone in, we could, you know. And so, same for at home businesses. So that's big. One thing that stood out to me is, and this is huge in Thousand Oaks, is the new order allows in-person auto sales, which the auto mall in Thousand Oaks is 15% of our general fund budget comes from revenue made at the auto mall. And for the last month, basically, it's been shut down. I mean, I think they're doing some online sales, but the new order will allow those businesses now to reopen, essentially, and have people come in and shop for a car. So, I mean, I think they did some of these decisions with the economy in mind. So I think that's where they're coming from. But it'll be interesting to just see what happens in the next few days. But it was big news, I think. And hopefully for some people, a sign that we're getting some light at the end of the tunnel. We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, I don't know. There's a lot of interesting back and forth going on social media. I know I said earlier, I'm trying not to spend too much time on Twitter, but I've been, you know, cautiously checking in a little bit more regularly, and the amount of back and forth of like, you know, oh, these are our freedoms, how can you keep us from doing this thing, versus other people like making the argument of like, this is for the common good, like, you know, this is what we need to do, and I know it doesn't seem that bad now, but that's because we're doing the right thing. Like, it's just, I'm very curious to see how this period in time will be looked back on historically. That's all.
I mean, I wonder if we'll start to see any of those protests that, like, we saw in Huntington Beach or in some of these other places come here. But I, you know, and I hate to see it come to that, because, again, it does seem in good faith that the county is trying to show. On one side, it's looking very carefully at the science and the data. And on the other side, it's realizing that, you know, every day we remain shut down, it's more people out of work. It's that much of a greater impact on our local economy. So, I when I see people that are so angry, I just say, you know, at least we're fortunate here it seems to be having a government that's being responsive to both sides of that right now. And the biggest story right now is that, yeah, our hospitals, the Acorn had a great story that John Losing wrote looking at our two East County hospitals, that they are, you know, they are, I wouldn't say they're empty, but they are, you know, they have plenty of beds, plenty of ventilators. So some of that fear that we wouldn't have enough equipment, that has not materialized. And that's great news, right?
Yeah, no, that's one of the things that's awesome. It's like, we're relatively populous, but not so close that it's, or not so dense that like we're getting slammed. It's reassuring to know that the hospitals still have space if things continue to get worse, if things start to get worse.
Yeah. So that's some good news to share today. Last thing I wanted to point out real quick on the mask issue. Yeah. Nothing official from Ventura County on masks, unlike LA County and the city of LA and Calabasas, meaning that, you know, that it's not written into the law you have to wear a mask, or that employees that work at essential businesses have to wear a mask. Although, as I go around the city, almost all of them are. I mean, I think they know that's good business, especially in the food industry, you know?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. I walked into a shop yesterday and like, I had the thing on around my neck and immediately like pulled it up, and the guy's got his mask on. He's like, hey, like, you know, appreciate you doing that kind of thing. It's like, I appreciate you're wearing yours, dude. Yeah. Like, I would not be shopping here if you weren't.
Yeah. And in general public, I'm still seeing probably over 50% people wearing masks here, you know, even without the law. So, again, we've got to separate what's the law and then just what is good practice. And it seems most people are still abiding that.
It's I'm wondering if there's like a weird self-consciousness aspect to it, because it's not something we've ever done. So like, it took me a while to get used to like wearing this thing in public, because it feels like almost wearing a costume.
Yeah, yeah.
So it just takes like, but now it's funny. I went out the other day, like just real quick to like my car or something. I'm like, what did you forget? Oh, you're not, you don't have like your scarf on for your mask. Like, but it's just how quickly we had, I adjusted to that thing of like having my face covered, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, well, I guess we should share. We did our first Acorn official Zoom hangout on Friday. A few of us got together.
Well, that was on House Party, and there was
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. House. All right. Well, that was House Party. Michael Coons led us into his dinner table, I think. Allison gave us an update on her apartment, which is, I think, caving in. That was fun, right?
Yeah. No, it was good. It was fun watching Allison read those tweets in real time. That was funny. No, we should get more of a Zoom, an Acorn thing going. Check in with like Dawn and Becca and Christina and Brooke and everybody else.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Again, we get we work together every day, and then suddenly we don't see someone for that long. And like I said, you miss that. And we're one of those companies where the people we work with are friends and family. So it was neat to just not talk about work. Although I still feel like I was talking a lot about work, which I have that problem.
No, I mean, it's a mix. We were good. I do. I'm sure I will be back to rolling my eyes when Dawn answers the phone 30 decibels louder than she needs to. Like, I'm super good. How are you? Like, Dawn, I'm trying to work here. But I miss it right now. So. Yeah.
But it's been a really, if I can share with everybody, just the outpouring of support for the papers the last few weeks. We haven't been able to share just as successful as some of these. If you've been following along, the Acorn like papers everywhere, you know, ad revenue has taken a big hit. This was a devastating week for local papers, with the LA Times basically just killing three community newspapers in one swipe in Glendale, Burbank, and La Cañada.
Yeah, that was unsettling to read.
Absolutely. Including one of our old writers that worked for one of those papers. He's out of work now. So, you know, I think that was maybe a wake-up call to some people that just how serious this is. But if I can reassure anyone, you know, one, people have just been really stepping up, buying those digital subscriptions, making donations, advertisers coming in, you know, not as many clearly as we usually get, but... I'm starting to get that feeling that I want to reassure people that what they're doing is making a difference. And, you know, I'm very confident, you know, we're not going to meet the fate of those same other papers. And a big reason right now is our readers, people that listen to this podcast, people that follow us on Twitter. It's great. I get to see a lot of the messages. I know you don't get to see as many. I wish you could share them with everybody.
You know what? I saw that tweet. Allison Montroy has done an excellent job spearheading the social media campaign for us. And I saw the one, like, she's taking tweets from people who are like praising our output, whether it be the paper or the podcast. I saw the one she did for the podcast earlier today. And it was just like, that's like, it just made me feel really good. Like, thank you. First off, to her for doing that, but then to this person who commented and just the reception that it got.
Yeah,
like it was.
Yeah, I mean, people are recognizing how important, you know, again, it's not because they love Kyle or Ian or even Dawn. They realize how important it is.
Even Dawn.
They realize how important it is to have someone in those chairs or even watching now remotely of the meetings. And, you know, as a free paper, they realize, you know, this is their chance to kind of ante up and get some skin in the game. And it's just been really heartening to see the support we've gotten. So I just want to thank everybody anyone who's donated even a dollar or bought even one digital subscription. It's making a difference and it's just huge. And it's given me a lot of faith that we're going to get through this. So
here's a quick bit of community news that has nothing to do with coronavirus.
Oh, just good.
For those of you who stuck through, I, as you know, I'm the Acorn's cougar reporter. There was a petition to get cougars listed as an endangered species in the Central Coast and Southern California regions of the state. And the California Fish and Game Commission voted earlier this week to approve that. So right now they're temporarily considered to be an endangered species. The Department of Fish and Wildlife has to put forward guidelines as to what that kind of protection means. But it looks like we're on a good track to getting these animals protected. And as far as what that means for depredation permits, I know we saw with P-56 earlier in this year being shot with a depredation permit. Don't know what it means, but it was just really good news. And I was so happy to write about something that I didn't have to mention the word coronavirus once in the story.
That was that was really big news. It's easy to miss those things right now, but on a normal week, that would be a huge story. We've talked about mountain lions ad nauseum here, and their numbers are dwindling to a very scary amount. So I think that would go a long way if that order does stick to helping them. So thanks for sharing.
All right. Well, let's get out of here. I got to edit this together and pray to God that these microphones work for us.
Hopefully all this time wasn't wasted. But appreciate everyone tuning in. Of course, Kyle Jory, editor of the Thousand Oaks Acorn. Please come follow me on Twitter at Kyle B. Jory, J-O-R-R-E-Y.
This is Ian Bradley reporting for the Acorn Newspapers. That's IAN. Follow us on Twitter at Branching Out Pod. Email us at branchingout@theacorn.com. Subscribe, donate, buy me lunch, whatever you feel like doing to show appreciation for your local newspaper.
I hope people are listening throughout this. I don't think we've been so busy to even look at the numbers. Maybe we don't want to see them, but, you know, we're sacrificing and hopefully people aren't enjoying it. So, thanks for tuning in, everyone.
Yeah. Thanks, folks. We'll see you next week.